Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is the most compelling figure that's ever walked planet Earth. Just the weight of his personality, the force of change that has resulted because he was here, because he died, was buried, and was raised again, I think compels any reasonable person to take a close look, to examine the evidence, and make it a decision concerning the claims that he made and the miracles that he performed and the life that he offers all who will come to him by faith. But there are a lot of people that won't examine the claims with an open mind and an open heart. And the reason is because they come to those claims with a presupposition that absolutely nothing happens outside the realm of nature, the material world. They have already eliminated the possibility of supernatural causes and explanations for things being the way that they are. And so they have jaded themselves. They have come to examine the claims of Christ with a bias. And they're naturally going to reject the story of Jesus because they believe that absolutely nothing can happen outside of natural laws and forces. That's a philosophy called philosophical naturalism. It is prevalent in the scientific community. I was a biology major. I encountered this time and time again through various professors that I had. And it is the prevailing wind that is blowing through the scientific community today. And that's why so many of them are skeptics. Andrew, Richard, how do we get through? How do we connect with them and bring them to a point to honestly examine the claims of Christ and see it for what it really is?
I mean, it's challenging, guys. You know, as you think about this, I don't know that you argue anyone into the kingdom. I think you have to meet people where they're at. You know, my wife is a scientist and a believer, of course, and she has a degree in astronomy and physics and a few other degrees on top of that. And she, you know, really thinks that you really would have to take by faith that there is no God, that there is no creator, that there is no designer, that, you know, they're choosing a faith too. They're walking blindly and in a sense walking against the evidence. You look at the origins problem that we have without God. I mean, you know, I like to say, you know, you got this these living cells that supposedly came from non-living cells. And then where did the non-living cells come from? Well, if you follow the story of secular science, it says, well, those non-living cells just sort of, you know, grew on the back of crystals or just sort of appeared. And, you know, if you start asking these logical questions, well, where did the first non-living cell really come from? Well, where did the crystals come from? Well, where did the origin of that come from? And eventually, some of these guys, literally, it's astonishing, they will eventually, not all scientists, but some will go to, well, maybe, you know, the crystals were transported by another civilization or something.
Aliens have come to our planet.
Yeah, so then they're, you know, they're crafting their own form of intelligent designer at that point. It's not God, it's aliens. So it just shows you, look, without a creator, without an intelligent designer, without someone to speak things into being, we are left with a serious origins problem. I think you can meet people there, talk about origins, but again, you know, they're digging their heels in. They're resisting, and I'm not sure you can argue people into the kingdom. They have to ultimately submit to a human need called Jesus.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I know, you know, I have a lot of friends who are doctors. I have a lot of friends who are in the scientific community. And, you know, all of them, without exception, have encountered a miraculous story in some form or another. And rather than accepting the idea, the possibility that supernatural forces brought that about, They have discarded that and said, you know, I don't have an explanation. I don't have a natural explanation for it right now, but I think in time we will discover one. And so I'm going to wait for that time to happen where I can explain this seemingly supernatural happening through natural forces, natural laws, through the material world. So even when the evidence is just right in front of their eyes that something beyond this world is causing things to happen, they refuse to accept it. And I know you've met people like that, Andrew, Richard, you've done the same, Bob Davis, you as well. It's astonishing to see that, isn't it? I mean, it's just, you just walk away incredulous that they hold to those beliefs, well, but yet they do.
Yeah, they do. And it's tragic because you miss so much if all you're willing to accept is something that can be measured. You know, if I can measure it, I can control it. And so the real issue here is I want to be God. Hmm. And I think it was Stephen Hawking in the last few years. I may be paraphrasing him somewhat incorrectly, but the idea was that I don't really care if God exists or not because I don't need him.
Yeah, they've just rendered God irrelevant
knowledge and enough power to do everything I want to do.
Right. Hmm. Richard Dawkins, the famed biologist and atheist, one of the four horsemen of the new atheism, a very strong voice in delivering that message that God does not exist. He actually thinks that there's a possibility that God exists, but it's just totally irrelevant to human existence. He believes that's the most complicated of beings that would exist in the world, and that would be true. And so let's start with things that are more simple.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. So he's just pushed the God idea and the God conversation to the back. And I was thinking about that the other day. How wonderful of God to simplify himself in such a way that he became one of us and revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. I think that's just a marvelous, marvelous indication of the care and the concern and the love that God has for mankind. He really wants us to know him.
Yeah.
And he has made it so simple that we can know him through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and this is basic gospel. I'm sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's an example of destroying the wisdom of the wise. You know, you think about all the smartest scholars, the supposed geniuses out there. They've got a high IQ, but God is in the business of destroying the wisdom of the wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, he is.
Well, we're talking about it this month on Basic Gospel, that, of course, answering the questions that the skeptics throw out. In the book Cold Case Christianity, Los Angeles County Detective J. Warner Wallace uses his skills as a homicide investigator to look at the evidence and the eyewitnesses behind Christian beliefs. Christianity could, of course, be defined as a cold case because it makes a claim about an event from the distant past for which there's very little forensic evidence. Cold case Christianity, of course, it taps into, I guess, the intense interest that a lot of people have in detective stories, and it will inspire and prepare our readers and our listeners to have confidence that Christ in Christ and to articulate the case of Christianity. A copy of Cold Case Christianity is our way of saying thank you for standing with us with your support for Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy of Cold Case Christianity. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. If you call after hours, you can call the same number that we give out as our listener line, 844-322-2742. You can leave your information and we'll get back to you and get a copy on the way to you. But either way is a great way. Again, 844-322-2742, anytime, overnight, or right now.
Yes, indeed. Let's go and talk to our good friend Ryan in Lacombe, Alberta. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to Basic Gospel today. So nice to hear from you.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey guys. How you doing today?
Doing well. How about you, my friend?
I'm hanging in there, doing well. Finally got my own private room and a group home, and I'm settled in here. So when we got the internet up and phones and things, so I figured I'd reach out to you guys, say hi and ask a question. So,
okay.
And this isn't something that you have to expand upon, you know, hugely. My question was just really, what are some things that I can expect? You know, I have a terminal illness, and I still am praying for a miracle and believing in that. But, you know, I thought maybe you guys could share some insights about some thoughts about heaven, and also, you know, possibly maybe share some resources that you found helpful in that might help myself and others kind of have a better understanding of what we all, you know, hope and look forward to.
Yeah. Well, Bob, you know, one of the big things that I like to reflect on in terms of Ryan's question is just the form that Jesus took in his resurrection, that, you know, he was greeted and spoke with people. He was misunderstood to be the gardener. What that tells me is that his resurrection body, my goodness, he didn't look like an alien from outer space. He looked like the gardener. So he had two arms, two legs, a head. In other words, God's design is God's design. And the way that he's designed us as humans, we'll get new resurrection bodies. But I believe that you'll recognize me, I'll recognize you, we'll be ourselves in a new state physically, we'll get a new body, a heavenly body. But, you know, what's so awesome is that he takes us there, that it's not just some sort of future version of us, that it's really, it's your heart, it's your spirit, it's your mind, it's you, it's your personality. So, you know, we're, in that sense, we're heaven ready. I mean, God embraces who we are. We'll have relationships in heaven. I know that Jesus says, you know, there won't be people given in marriage in heaven, but we won't be worried about marriage because there'll be a fullness. We'll be complete. We won't be lacking anything. There won't be any tears or sorrow. That new resurrection body will be in perfect health. There won't be any flawed DNA or disease or you know, issues with it. And what a comfort that is, just physically speaking, to get some relief from some of the things we suffer from on this side of heaven. So, you know, Bob, those are some of the thoughts that come to mind.
Every day.
What's that?
I won't need those.
Yeah, anymore. You won't need them anymore. That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, the other thing that I think about, and, you know, I grew up, and I think most evangelicals here in America, you know, the gospel was all about Christ dying for our sins so that we could go to heaven when we die. And so I grew up thinking, well, I wonder what that place is like. You know, and I'm a golfer, so I envision it as Augusta National, just, you know, on steroids and just, yeah, you know, manicured and meticulous and just beautiful and just, you know, colorful, just exploding in all of these colors. And I started thinking in terms of a place. But when you talk or when you read in the New Testament all the things that Jesus says, you know, in John 14, for example, let not your heart be troubled. You know, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and so that you can be with me. And that's the thing that started really connecting with my heart, that as soon as I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord, you know, I get to be with Jesus in a whole new way. I mean, he's with me right here and now. I get to enjoy this side of life with him living inside of me. You know, when I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord, there's going to be a different way that we enjoy him. So I see, you know, him as the father in the prodigal son, just there to welcome us with open arms and me jumping into his arms, and just that intimate personal relationship. So what comforts me more than anything is the fact that I'm going to be with him forever, and not so much the place anymore. It's the fact that I'm with Jesus and Jesus is with me. I can't think of anything better than knowing that I'm going to be with him forever. And Ryan, you know, you've been battling this this brain cancer. It's been determined to be terminal, and this has been a thought that has occupied your mind quite a bit, and I think the situation has really surfaced that. And I just pray that your story will encourage other listeners out there to start thinking about it now, to be prepared now that, you know, we're all going to die. I mean, that's inevitable, unless the Lord comes back first. But we need to be prepared, and the only way to be prepared is by grace through faith in Jesus, to realize that God has sent Jesus so that we could have life everlasting. And as simple as just opening up our heart and mind to Him, receiving Him into our lives, and at that very moment, we go from death to life spiritually, and at that moment, we are equipped and prepared to be with Jesus forever, just as Andrew was saying at the beginning of the question. So,
yeah, and we've been talking about our board chairman, Rich Andresen, who has gone to be with the Lord now, and the confidence that he has. And it just reminds me that the perfect love casts out fear. And, you know, laying in that hospital bed, he didn't experience fear because he knew the perfect love of Jesus. It doesn't mean that our emotions won't get whacked out, you know, from time to time. And the enemy can try to bring fear in. But, you know, there is a knowing, a place of knowing, you know, I know what I know what I know. And that is that I'm one with Christ right now. And when everything fades to black, physically speaking, I'll be one with Jesus then as well. And He's promised to never leave me. And so I'm safe and secure. And I just love that little concept that God's perfect love casts out our fear. So thanks for your call, Ryan.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Pleasure talking to you, gentlemen. Keep me in thought and prayer for sure.
We sure will, Ryan. Yeah. And great to hear from you. We'll talk with you soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
God bless, my friend. Yeah.
844-322-2742, time on the clock, and we would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. You know, guys, Jesus is, of course, the first and final answer to all the tough questions that skeptics throw out. And, of course, we're talking about skepticism this month on the Basic Gospel radio program. Everything in the Bible, of course, points to Jesus, but the person consumed with fear and uncertainty just can't see Jesus, at least not yet. And that's why we need to have respectful answers to give them. So important. So to those of you who support Basic Gospel, you're reaching people who are asking the right questions, people who have grown weary of empty answers and are hungry for truth. And to answer those questions, J. Warner Wallace, an L.A. County detective, has written a book called Cold Case Christianity, and we want to send you a copy. It'll help you provide answers to those who are skeptical of the gospel but who are sincerely seeking. To get your copy today, as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Or you can call our online, our listener line, 844-322-2742. You can call that anytime, 24 hours a day. If you call when we're actually off the air, you can leave a message and we'll get back to you, because we'd love you to have a copy of Cold Case Christianity.
Well, thanks, Bob. Getting back to Ryan's call, Ryan has been a frequent caller over this past year. Yep. We've been able to journey with him as he has faced this terminal disease. We've helped him gain assurance of salvation through some of the resources. He's asked a lot of questions, and I know there's so many of our listeners out there that are praying for him, and I just ask that you continue to do so. He's now in a place where he's getting some very directed care and attention, but he struggles on a daily basis with headaches and a lot of pressure within his head. So pray with him along those lines, and also just that his time with his wife and his little 5-year-old daughter will be precious and memorable to him and to them, that they will really sense God's presence in those very moments. So there are some specific things that you can be praying about for our good friend Ryan in Lacombe, Alberta, Canada.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Richard Pfeiffer, Bob Christopher, and me, and we're glad that you have. And we have a call on the screen. I guess we should go to that now, huh, Bob?
Yes, we should. It's Marcus in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Marcus. You're on the air on Basic Gospel. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, I had a question regarding sanctification. Regarding, I guess, as far as Hebrews 10:10, which says that we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once and for all, even back in Acts 26, Jesus talked about those who are sanctified by faith in him. And 1 Corinthians speaks of Jesus Christ being made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And the question I had is regarding 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3, where it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." And so how do you exactly go about explaining that? Because to me it seems that when you put your faith in Christ, you are sanctified.
Yeah.
And then so you are complete in him. Now there is the being transformed by the renewing of the mind, you know, but how does that, this is the will of God and for you, your sanctification, but it says that you are sanctified in Christ.
Right. Well, Marcus, that's a great question. And, you know, it seems like today we've made it more confusing than it needs to be. People talk about progressive sanctification. And when they say that, they're saying that you are progressively, you know, getting set apart. One day, maybe one day you'll be God's. Maybe one day you'll fully belong to him. Maybe one day you'll be sanctified. Maybe one day you'll be set apart. And that's just not the case. As you've indicated, you know, 1 Corinthians and Hebrews 10:10, they both say that we have been sanctified past tense, and that refers to us as children of God. I mean, Marcus, you are set apart for a purpose. You are sanctified for a purpose. You belong to God. You're reserved for him. We are a people of God's own possession. That's what sanctified means, to be owned, possessed, set apart by God, for God. And yet, you know, as you mentioned also, you know, we're learning and growing. There's the mind renewal. There's our attitudes and actions. And so that's what 1 Thessalonians is really referring to, that through and through, that in the way you think in your soul, in the way you act in your body, that through and through, you and I would be an expression of Jesus Christ, and that we would reach that renewing of the mind, and we would reach that bearing of his fruit. And that's progressive, and that's ongoing. But look, you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come back in the next 5 minutes, he wouldn't look at you, Marcus, and say, well, you're only 62% sanctified, so you're not heaven ready yet. The truth is, you are heaven ready. You as a child of God are set apart, but not everything that we think and do is set apart. So when we hit heaven, we're going to leave the power of sin behind, we'll leave the flesh behind, we'll leave the world behind, and we won't have an attitude and actions problem. We'll just be a full expression of Jesus and a full expression of who we really are as children of God. But, you know, you're that person right now, Marcus. I mean, you have a new heart and a new spirit and God's spirit. So what I would say is the bottom line, you are sanctified as a person, period. But our attitudes and actions are in process. But thank God we're not what we do. I'm not the sum total of my actions. So you have an identity apart from what you do. And that we can be most thankful for, can't we?
Yes, and I think also thank God that God's Spirit lives in us and that he has promised to complete the work that he began in us. So that is the good news. Marcus, I think you're spot on. You know you've been sanctified. You know you've been set apart. Just rejoice in that. Trust the Lord Jesus to work in you and to express his life through you. We sure appreciate your call, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate hearing from all of those of you who called to be a part of Basic Gospel. And if you'd like to leave a question, you can call 844-322-2742. You can do that 24 hours a day. You know, in the book Classic Cold Case Christianity, Los Angeles County Detective J. Warner Wallace uses the skills he's learned as a homicide investigator to look at the evidence and the eyewitnesses behind Christian beliefs. Christianity could, in fact, be defined as a cold case because it makes a claim about an event from the distant past for which there's little forensic evidence. Cold case Christianity taps into the intense interest that many of us have in detective stories. It inspires and prepares readers to have confidence in Christ and to articulate the case for Christianity. So a cold case Christianity, a copy of that book, will be on its way to you with your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Simply click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can call our online number, 844-322-2742. You can use that 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davison, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.